Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is a Tuesday in early March and the mornings are pink and the hares are boxing in the fields. Mind how you go. Stand in by the ditch, be curamach our fad, but chat to us, of course, in the usual manner. And all manners of correspondence are welcome on the WhatsApp, as long as you have some manners. 0870 32 32 32. And also on the email, you can shrieve away, Oliver at rte.ie. Now, we have a lovely show for you today to soothe you into Tuesday. Carmel Harrington is a beloved novelist who has a new book out. It's called The Stolen Child. And it was actually inspired by her young son, who went sleepwalking once while they were on holidays in America a couple of years ago. Imagine the fright of their lives. They woke up and the wee fella was gone out of the hotel room. He'd let himself out where the family was staying. And mother of all the saints, you can imagine. But it all ended well. He was safe and well. But the shock led to the story. And it's kept me company the last couple of evenings. And Carmel, she was basically, as a novelist, writing more or less in secret for a time, because she didn't want to tell people this was her dream until it became a reality. And some 47 rejections later, she became published and she's now a hit. And by all accounts, a lovely chatter. So we're looking forward to that conversation with Carmel Harrington. And 51551 is our text as well. And we need the soothing presence at the moment amid all the tumult and upending of the world order, where the Western nations of Europe and America stood together once against the threat from the East. And that has prevailed all the way from the end of the Second World War until, I think, 3:55 a.m. this morning, basically. And if you haven't been paying attention, the United States leader has suspended delivery of all the US military aid to Ukraine, which, from what I gather, if I haven't been sort of semi-concussed and over the last few days, it's a punishment for Volodymyr Zelensky's refusal to tell Donald Trump that he looked nice, smelled lovely, and really knows how to fill out a suit during that Oval Office meeting last Friday. Zelensky also refused to wear a suit himself and say thank you enough times. I don't know how many times he meant to say. I think he was supposed to say it so many times until it felt very uncomfortable in the room and borderline homoerotic in the fashion that J.D. Vance prefers. So he's being punished by being exposed to the invading Russian army that's commanded by a dictator, the democratic guy leader. Okay, you're up to date. And for its brutal and illegal war in Ukraine, Russia's punishment is a new alliance with America against Europe. And also gold card visas for its oligarchs. That's one he dreamt up, I think, on the same, just the day before the slapdown of Zelensky. And also you've got this new elevated homecoming to the world stage, from which Russia has been ostracised for 3 years for obvious reasons. But why Trump would want to be so friendly and so loving to Vladimir Putin, you can only, you know, attempt the speculative theory out there. It's anything from the PP tape compromat, remember, of the first term, and all those jokes, anywhere there, to the fact that the Botoxed butcher of the old Bolsheviks just says nice things about Trump's hair, his teeth, and the way he fills out a suit. So the American president whispers towards Vladimir Putin, "'Tis but thy name that is my enemy." It's like, you know, the Russia thing. No, I love you. And so a new global alliance has begun, the likes of which, now I've been looking this up and I've been doing some very, very constructive geopolitical thinking on this. This is a new global alliance that has begun. We have not seen this since the 1988 buddy cop action movie Red Heat. Remember? Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jim Belushi. So Arnie plays a Soviet cop, Ivan Danko, and he teams up with Belushi, who's a Chicago police detective called Art Ritzik. And the Soviet cop comes into America, where he loves things like Cracker Jacks. And together they put aside their differences as representatives of the free market capitalism hedonism of the West versus the frugal moralities of a socio-economic order which was centred around common ownership of wealth. And these two enemies unite against a common foe. Red Heat is a beautiful work of art, and we are just seeing it play out again with the Trump-Putin alliance. Only this time, it's not at the expense of a murdering drug lord from a 1988 movie with a 67% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but instead is at the expense of European democracy and values. And by the way, I don't want to make light of this enormously depressing ordeal that is the news right now. I'm just trying to cope as well. Of course, we know the Trump angle for balance. He says he wants the war to end, and he's against American money being spent where he feels Europe could pay more since it's our borders. And he has a point. He has a point. It's just weird that he won't criticise Russia at all, even just a tiny little bit. I mean, how much How much massaging of the ego did Mr. Putin do? And so with all of this happening, you need froth and frippery. And nobody does this better than Meghan Markle, star of Suits and also A Royal Wedding featuring George Clooney and Amy Humerman, that divided a kingdom. But at least it brought America closer to Europe for that brief shining moment that we had. So what is she up to? She has her Netflix new series. This is her comeback, Meghan's comeback, because it's been a rough couple of years for Meghan and Harry Windsor, to give him his name without the royal thing, living in California. It's a new Netflix series, which they postponed in January because of the Los Angeles wildfires. Tastefully done. Daily Mail coverage, first of all, says that on the day the Meghan launches her cookery series, the striking similarities to Pammy's bucolic lifestyle show are laid bare. This is basically a sneering accusation that Meghan Markle's new Netflix lifestyle series is remarkably similar to Pamela Anderson's one, which launched just a week ago. Pamela's show is called Cooking. It's Pamela's Cooking with Love. Meghan's is called With Love, Meghan. It's streaming on Netflix today, by the way. This is where you'll be hiding your head later on. Between this and Home of the Year, this is where you will be living, just to soothe your rattled soul. The two TV stars live more than 1,000 apart, but they're both smiling and giggling in brightly lit country kitchens, filming aspirational cooking with photogenic friends and famous chefs. Can't believe they're copying each other, using exactly the very lifestyle format that has existed since the beginning of television. It's an absolute disgrace. Also, she's done an interview, Meghan, with People magazine, and the BBC, no less, a bastion of journalism, has listed the five things we've learned from Meghan's interview. Meghan says she loves Chinese takeaway. She has said she is not an influencer. She sees herself as an entrepreneur and a female founder. Well, she's founded females, fair play to her. She says her romance with Harry, formerly the artist known as Prince Harry, now Harry Windsor, it's like a honeymoon period again. Mentioned the book. And there's going to be a new podcast. Oh, this is just what we dreamt about. I mean, it's World War III or a new podcast for Meghan. Fortunately, it's going to be the latter. And her whole new Netflix series does not mention the royal family at all. They are the five crucial things you've learned, and now you know everything. Back to some, this is a much more comfortable place now for Irish people. Lifestyle is property programmes and so on. The Irish Times today, ahead of episode 3 of RTÉ's Home of the Year, which is going out tonight at 8:30, starring Hugh, Amanda, and the amazing new judge, who actually I've deleted her name from my mind because I just see her as Joanne McNally. She is like, she's lighting up the show. Fair play to her, and can't wait. They have announced, the Irish Times, what's in and out for home decor and design this year, among the biggest shifts in how much thought goes into your home design this year. What's in? Okay, this is what's cool. Pet spaces in your home. It's the biggest shift in home design. How much thought goes into accommodating pets? Apparently some people have dedicated dog washing stations in their utility rooms to built-in feeding areas and smart storage for pet food. Wow. This is aside from the utility room. How big do the Irish Times think people's houses are? Also, home office is very much in. Dedicated home office, or at least a well-designed workspace in a room, is a must-have. That's not going to last, is it? All these American multinationals cancelling diversity and work from home. How long can it possibly last? Energy upgrades. Yeah, we got that. Mud rooms, which I never heard of before. I think they mean boot room. But unlike a standard utility room, mud rooms include built-in seating, coat storage, shoe racks, even drying cupboards for wet clothes and boots. The trend reflects a more practical approach to home design. This has to be kept separate from your utility room, by the way. A must, I'd say, in country houses with Wellington boots and all that sort of stuff. EV charging points. Again, they're not looking at the future of the companies were going to cancel all their fossil fuel, that they reverse all that. But apparently a charging station is a must-have in your home. What's out? Ah, this is more like it. What's gone out of fashion? Smart home systems is the whole house system. So you like kind of dedicated app-controlled thermostats are fine, but the whole house system are gone out. Built-in coffee machines. Time was a built-in coffee machine was a cool feature in the kitchen, but they take up too much space and lack the flexibility of standalone models. Homeowners are instead opting for stylish coffee stations or breakfast bars where they keep their favourite coffee makers. And tellies in the bedroom are gone, out of fashion to reduce screen time. And you must prioritise a tech-free zone in the bedroom for better relaxation and sleep. Some people knew that the minute they put a TV in a bedroom in 1977. I'm presuming. Double ovens also gone. You don't need two ovens. They take up too much space. Telephone points gone for obvious reasons. Now, the Irish Times says another thing that's gone completely out of fashion. Solid fuel stoves are no longer hot. They're no longer in. It used to be a living room was complete. Could not be completed without a fireplace of stove. But in well-insulated homes, they're no longer necessary. I think you'll find Storm A-O-A-O-A-O-I-N made this one thing plain wrong. They are now an absolute necessity, I would say, when the power goes out. Siobhan Lamb is who I was describing as the new Joanne McNally judge. She's good. She has landed. And fair dues to Siobhan Lamb. Yeah, it's like a spike to it, isn't there? What's this now? Midlife crisis. Okay, I'll go into this. Midlife crisis has been a feature of Western society. Well, we all know, yeah. Peak misery is between the age of 40 and 50. That's what I'm feeling, okay. But it's all about to change. Aha. Happiness was once thought to be a U-shape on the graph. So the relatively carefree youth, then the really tough middle age, and then a comfortable later life. So the sad part was the middle, sagging middle, suitably enough. But the well-being experts, oh no, this is trouble already. They say our satisfaction now rises steadily with age. The U-shape and well-being by age that used to exist is gone, replaced by a crisis for the young people. They are the saddest of all the demographics, youngsters. And the interesting thing is this Guardian report, the analysis took place in surveys in America, in Britain, in Ireland, Australia, Canada, New Zealand. We're rarely included in these world surveys. Study found life satisfaction, happiness felt among young people over the past decade, particularly among young women. And it's all about smartphones, social media and a well-being crisis and making everyone miserable because of social media bullying, cyberbullying in general and body shaming that happens online. The young people are isolated because they're stuck on their phones. And I'd say the Irish situation with housing may have dragged down that survey quite some bit. Young people, I mean, people are living at home with their parents in their 50s at this stage. And other studies have linked youth mental health crisis, intergenerational inequality, unregulated social media, insecure employment and the climate crisis. Young people increasingly likely to be absent from their jobs due to mental health conditions and so on. The UN sees this as a huge global crisis. And so the young are the sad people, middle age are grand, and the people later on, particularly from the 60s onwards, are apparently the happiest of them all. On the takeaway, by the way, that Megan was talking about, even when eating the takeaway, she arranges it beautifully on a plate. That's the whole new thing. So you get your takeaway, don't be eating out of the carton like some sort of animal. You should get the plate out, set the table and arrange it perfectly because you've all the time in the world. Oh, there's a Megan text as well. 51551 for your text. What's with the Megan bashing? Excuse me, I did not bash. Did I at any point bash Megan? It's very tiring, says this person. Well, sure. Make your bed beautifully, have a lie down and dream of a Chinese takeaway and it'll all go away. Absolutely no. I thought I left that very balanced. My God, you're very, very past remarkable, the texters of this show, I must say. Oh, there's a message here for Trump. You've omitted to highlight the Nobel Prize for Peace, which is another key item on Trump's wish list, says Jim and Liz Moore. Well, Jim, you missed yesterday's programme because I mentioned that and I'm slightly obsessed because he's mentioned a few times that it is his dream to win the Nobel Prize for Peace, and Marco Rubio brought that to the fore on Sunday when Marco went quiet for a while because he's very pro-Ukraine, or was up until he had to side with Trump. Back into Trumpverse, actually. The health secretary, RFK Jr., he's the Kennedy lad. He's the he's the Department of Health and Human Service secretary. And he's very much an anti-vaxxer. Now, I mentioned here last week the very troubling measles outbreak in Texas, particularly in the county where people are opting out of vaccines. Texas makes it, it's not mandatory to have the MMR vaccine. And so there's a huge outbreak there, naturally. And there's actually now an unvaccinated school-aged child died from this virus because it is a killer illness. 20 other people have been hospitalised and people have been pointing to how much of a disaster this is to have the anti-vax, the vaccination conspiracy expert RFK in the job at the worst possible time. He has now urged people to get the measles jab after this outbreak in Texas. After initially he downplayed the spread of the disease, but he knows enough from inside to say it is time for people to get the vaccine. And he went on Fox News. He wrote an op-ed for their website and he says, measles outbreak is a call to action for all of us. The MMR vaccine is crucial to avoiding potentially deadly disease. And it's a huge, huge U-turn from his previous peddling of vaccine scepticism and conspiracy theories. And as his Senate confirmation hearings showed, he has financially benefited from helping lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies on vaccines. So he's made a lot of money from being a vaccine skeptic. And he said also dreadful things in the past, and including that the COVID-19 was a bioweapon that targets Caucasians and black people and sparing Jewish and Chinese people. This is a report in The Independent today. That's another of the mad things he has said, which are very, very disturbing, really. There's some sad news in the world. Dolly Parton has lost her husband of nearly 60 years. And Carl Dean was his name. He was 82 years of age. And she basically, they met outside the Wishy-Washy Laundrette, and Parton was doing her washing the very day she moved to Nashville. She was 18 years of age, and she was surprised and delighted he talked to her and looked at her face, which was a rare thing for men to do at the time. And she said, a record company said, do not get married. But they got married 2 years later, 1966. Only the mother, Dolly Parton's mum, the preacher, and the preacher's wife were in attendance at the ceremony. Local papers didn't report it because she was a star at the time. And she said years later that people believed there was no such thing as Carl Dean, that he was someone she made up to keep away from each other. They were married for a very long time. They had no children, but he died, unfortunately, after 60 years. And I didn't know this. I'm sure Dolly Parton fans will know. But Dean was the inspiration behind one of her biggest hits, which is the lovely place we'll begin this morning. 51551 for your texts. It is, of course, the amazing Jolene.